and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin, and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture, and where you can see these represented in modern day content, so that you can learn more and get as obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. Gosh, March has marched in quickly, and thank goodness spring is on its way, because it is so cold here at the moment. I'm very excited to get some warmer weather to sweep through the UK, and it's also getting close to my birthday, as well as the third year anniversary of the podcast. So, that's pretty nice. We're heading back closer to home in Eastern Europe this week to have a look at a monster that is represented within different countries, but technically the same mythology. It is the Kikimora from Slavic mythology this week. The Kikimora is a household spirit. However, there are two different versions of her, so it's best to start with that first in terms of description. The usual household one, or forest Kikimora, is described as a dog, goat, or chicken-headed woman, but can use animal parts for any part of herself. She is also able to appear as a beautiful woman to some, as well as young girls and ugly dwarves with pointy heads. These monsters are the wife of the Slavic monster the Domovoi, which were the male equivalent of the Kikimora, and are also household spirits. This version is sometimes known as the forest version of the Kikimora, but she can appear in towns and graveyards where she can also imitate dead family members for the people whose house she inhabits. The other version of this monster is the swamp Kikimora, which is usually depicted as a hunchbacked, thin old woman who wears moss and grass for clothes. She is said to be a lot more ruthless than her forest namesake, happy to kidnap and murder passers-by and drown them in the bog that she lives in. If she makes her way into your home, you'll be able to tell with wet footprints or wet furniture that she leaves in her wake. During this visit, she can kidnap your child and leave a log in its place, which is pretty rough. This Kikimora is married to the Forest King Leshy, another monster who we've covered in another episode. Both versions of the Kikimora are the same in regards to their powers though. They both have the power of invisibility, shapeshifting, and dreamwalking. The latter is probably the coolest, and what they're most well known for, but they all kind of fit in together in regards to what she would generally be doing. A Kikimora would get into your house through the keyholes, be invited or not, and if the house was left untidy, the children neglected, or the husband abusive, it would come and give you nightmares. It would sit on your chest, strapping your arms down so you couldn't struggle, and strangle you whilst you slept. Slavic mothers tell their children to hide their heads in their pillows, or look away from the Kikimora if they sense this coming into their room, as a glance into her eyes is a definitive and quick death. To stop this, they would stuff keyholes with cotton or paper to restrict her movement around the house and seeing that she can't get access in the first place. They could also enter the dreams of the house's inhabitants, giving them sleep paralysis or nightmares. In men's dreams, she would tempt them as beautiful women, only to reveal herself as this chicken-headed monster once they got too close. In women's dreams, she would taunt them with images of other women, making them jealous and suspicious of her husband. The Kikimora could be there when you moved in, due to a curse from maybe the house builder, or if a child had died at the property previously due to murder, miscarriage, or stillbirth. She lives mostly within the hearth, the cellar or the pantry of the house, in nooks and crannies, waiting for the night to start her stalking. You could get rid of a resident Kikimora by putting a broom upside down on the back of any doors, saying an elaborate prayer before bed, making the sign of the cross on your pillow, or strapping a belt onto your bed sheets. That being said though, they could also be a helpful spirit to have around if you're doing all of the things right. If everything is looked after around the home, the Kikimora will look after any chickens, livestock, and will help around the house with any housework. But the first signs of her defecting are whistling, her breaking dishes, and making other noises in the dead of night. But if she's content, she will sit and spin thread in the evening, as her favourite hobby is making clothes. She is, because of this, also considered a death omen within this culture. As if you were to see her weaving, you are destined for a hard time. If you catch her spinning thread, though, you will definitely die soon. And if you catch her knocking at your door, then you're in for some pretty bad luck. Kikimora are always female, and they are formed from the spirits of unbaptized babies, children cursed by their own parents, and ones that are linked to evil spirits. But because they are spirits, there is no killing them. It's just removing them from your property, which does seem to be pretty difficult once they're in there. But let's move on to etymology. It's actually pretty interesting, because there are a load of Slavic languages that have a few different root words and translations for the Kikimora. Throughout all of them though, it may link to the sound of her spinning wheel, that kind of sound. But in Polish and Croatian, Mora means nightmare. There is also Mara, which implies the more attractive version of the Kikimora within these same languages. But before we get into the full history, let's go over what Slavic means in a mythological context for those outside of the regions and outside of Europe who just don't know. The Slavic mythos regions were some of the countries within Eastern Europe who speak Slavic-based languages. So they are Poland, Russia, Bulgaria, Montenegro, Bosnia, Czech Republic, Macedonia, Ukraine, Serbia, Belarus, Croatia, Slovenia, and Slovakia. If you've ever watched Eurovision and you're not in Europe, they're all the countries that will pop up on that. The Kikimora was all based on Slavic paganism, which was around in the 6th to 7th centuries before the arrival of Christianity in Europe. And of course, a lot of these countries that we know now were merged or they didn't exist at all within Europe until much later on. But they all spoke the same dialect, and if not the same language, which was either Cyrillic or Glagolithic, which is what modern Slavic languages are now derived from. So yes, whilst Slavic monsters are considered European, they are also very independently Slavic in their own right and attached to a different European culture. Not that each country in Europe isn't unique with culture, but the language-linked ones are usually quite similar. For example, Germanic and Romantic language countries are usually all influenced by each other mythologically due to the invasion of land and influence through those territorial changes and migration of people throughout the continent. This monster doesn't have a very definitive beginning to its history, but we do know that it came from those Slavic pagan times, which ended in around the 13th century when Christianity came in. However, belief in the Kikimora did not dissipate when the mainline religions came into Europe, and they are still widely believed in due to their link to the demonic, which is only supported by the Christian Church. And not supported literally, just backed up by the Christian Church. But there still is a really heavy folklore presence within Slavic countries, which thankfully is still very present to this day. And the Kikimora represents taking care of your home and family and the consequences of not doing so. They were also known to show up at big events and foretell bad things happening. And so people would use the Kikimora as an explanation but also a comfort if something like a family member or friend passed away, rather than thinking of them as the reason they passed away. So they wouldn't blame the Kikimora, they would more use it as, well, we saw a Kikimora turn up, so we were kind of expecting it. I actually have two stories about the Kikimora, one of which comes from a tone poem, which is an orchestral piece by Anatoly Lyadov, which talks about a Kikimora growing up with a magician in the mountains, rocking in a cradle made of crystal. After 7 years, she finally reaches maturity and crawls out, tiny and whittled away by the rock, being no larger than a thimble or any thicker than a tiny bit of straw. She spins flax all day with evil intentions for the world thanks to her upbringing. The other is that of a swamp Kikimora who loved to brew beer. Her name was Baba Bolitnitsa, and when she brewed, a thick fog would rise over the swamp that she lived in, making it impossible for humans to pass, but tempting them with the smell of beer, hoping that they might fall into the bog. Now, for mythical comparisons this week, of course we have her male counterparts, the Leshy and the Domovoy. The Leshy is a wandering forest god, as I said earlier, and a shapeshifter who rules over the entire forest. They are known to kidnap children and drive people into the unknown path of danger. I have covered Leshy before if you want to hear more about him, about a year ago. The Domovoy is on my to-do list to cover, which is a lot more relevant to the Kikimora, as they are the male household spirits that appear as little old men with flashing eyes. They are more protective spirits of the actual family in the home and will look after the children. However, they get very upset when the family uses bad language or bad behaviour and can turn against them. Technically, the Domovoy is also a god, and once he leaves in disgust, it leaves the family open to disease and death. But we'll cover these another time. We can also talk about the Banshee and the Ben-Nea in this case too, because a lot of her household chore death omen vibes match up. The others both represent these, with the Banshee and her call, and the Ben-Nea with the washing of blood off of the intended's clothes. But with the nightmare aspect, we can also link the Kikimora to night hags, the embodiment of nightmares and sleep paralysis throughout most cultures in the world. They would sit on your chest whilst you slept and try and kill you, as well as spooking you out by sitting all dark and silent in the corner of the room whilst you fell asleep. I covered these in my third ever episode a very long time ago, if you want to learn more about them. Before we move on to modern media, we do have to talk about where you might know this monster from. Yes, they are the title card on Netflix for the Witcher series. You can even set them as your Netflix icon, which is pretty cool, and it is the Swamp Kikimora version. However, this does not look anything like the monster we know from folklore. It's a really big spider monster with massive legs, and it is at least 3 times the size of Geralt. In reality, they were pretty sleepy household spirits that sometimes give you nightmares, but you can have a look at how they represent it in the first clip that you ever see with Geralt, and it's also in that title card whenever you start a new episode. And of course, that does lead us very nicely onto the rest of modern media, but we don't really have many for the Kikimora specifically, other than The Witcher and The Owl House in TV and games. But I'll cover you with some more household spirit and spooky night terror bits. For art, have a look at an illustration of a Kikimora from 1934 by Ivan Bilbin, Swamp Kikimora by Vasily Ivanovich Desenov from the early 1900s, and Child Frightened by Shy Kikimora by Tatiana Hippus for some really classic art. but otherwise, the independent stuff is very good for this monster too. In movies, we have Fairies and the Elfkins, Maleficent, Dead Awake, Marianne 2011, The Nightmare, The Nightwalker, Mara, and The Haunting of Mia Moss. For TV, we have The Witcher, The Owl House, Hilda, Let's Go Luna, Queen's Blade, Merlin, Barbie Presents Thumbelina, Disenchantment, The Dragon Prince, Trolls, Gargoyles, Steven Universe, Mr. Bogus, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Rings of Power, Black Clover, Kulipari, An Army of Frogs, Adventures of the Gummy Bears, and Avatar, The Last Airbender. In video games, we have ones such as The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, The Legend of Zelda, World of Warcraft, Dragon Age, Touhou Project, Skies of Arcadia, World of Mana, Wildstar, Sequoidin, RuneScape, Tales of Symphonia, Shining Force 2, One Way Heroics, Loom, Wild Arms, The Elder Scrolls, The Legend of Dragoon, Night Bewitched, Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Bravely Default 2, Kingdom of Loathing, and Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura. My book recommendation this week is A Study of Household Spirits of Eastern Europe by Renisa Avila, or The Tradition of Household Spirits, Ancestral Lore and Practices by Claude Le Couteau, for some really great tips and stories on household spirits across Europe. But now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? You know, this one is actually a bit believable for me, but mostly because I like the idea of the nightmare aspect and the whole sleep paralysis demon actually being a mythological monster slash spirit. But what I don't like is the actual idea of it. The concept of a chicken-faced lady coming to watch over me and then, potentially, if I catch a glimpse of it, I'll die, really freaks me out. But I will say that I enjoy that she might do my cleaning up for me if I treat her right. I respect it and appreciate the sentiment. As well as generally being a pretty good spirit if you don't annoy her or, you know, look her in the eye. I actually sleep with all of my doors open because of my cats, and she would just be able to wander in here and just stare at me in my house. Although, what I do have to take into account with believability here is that they are a spirit, and they're generally pretty hard to prove and disprove because they are not tangibly here to point at. So, I think I'll leave this one on a maybe, just so I sleep a little bit soundly for a while. But what do you think? Did the Kikimora slip into the keyholes of Eastern Europe? Let me know on Twitter, I would love to know what you think. I think the Kikimora is creeping up on my list of favourite monsters, you know. This one is really cool, and I really enjoyed covering it. I also hope that all of my Witcher fans are satiated with this one, unlike the change of Geralt's actor on Netflix. Bring back Henry Cavill is all I have to say. Next week, though, we are having a little special for the 3rd year anniversary and looking at a monster that I love and are represented throughout all the different mythologies across the world. So it's going to be a really interesting come together episode. Let's take a look at your destiny for the Fates next Thursday for our 3rd birthday special. Also, a quick reminder that I'm having my annual 2-week break after next week's episode to recuperate, but I do have a really great reveal in that episode as well, just to celebrate more about the anniversary, which I really hope you're as excited to hear about as I am. I have also spent the last week rebuilding the website, and that is now live. Go and have a look, it looks 10,000 times better, and I really hope that you like the changes I've made to it. Everything is still in the same place. You can still find all of the resources and any social links on there. And there's a good old listen button at the top. For now though, thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure as always. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. And I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next. And I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, Threads and Instagram are Myth Monsters Podcast, but the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod. And all of our content can be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. Come join the fun though, share this with your pals. They might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky, and I'll see you later, babes.